Bibles and turn to Romans, if you would. Romans chapter 16. We are coming to the conclusion of this study, which has lasted several weeks, maybe months, in the book, the great book of Romans. What a great epistle it is. And it's always a blessing. And I've been through it, as you have, many times, but it never ceases to challenge my heart and soul spiritually. I want to just begin reading verse 1, really several verses. I commend you unto you, Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Centuria. Paul was writing to saints whom he had never ministered to personally. He'd hoped to get there and would in the providences of God, but at this point he hadn't. So he's writing and sharing his heart and mentioning some people that had had a significant impact in this ministry. That you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of. For she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the firstfruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of the household of Aristobulus, or Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsmen. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Philegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Phologus, and Julia, Neris, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Father, I thank you for this, thy inspired word. And it has a message even tonight for us. And so help us to study, to be quiet, and to listen to the Holy Spirit as he who authored these words would take these words and apply them to our hearts. And I pray that we might each of us leave here with something that would be practical, biblical, spiritual, helpful in our walk and work for Christ this week. Thank you for the Apostle Paul, his pen, and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as you superintended the choice of every word that he chose, and the use of and the reference to every person in this great chapter. Now, help us to understand it, but help us also to believe it in Jesus' name. Amen. From time to time, it's well for us to look back and reflect upon the mercies of God and every pastor that's ever pastored with humble gratitude. Stands before his congregation and thanking God for the privilege to pastor, the privilege to preach. I did again this afternoon and also this morning before I came to the pulpit. Then I think of people in my life that have made it possible for me to do this. I thank God for my folks who were faithful parents and who provided me the opportunity, the encouragement, the direction necessary to pursue God's calling in my life. I thank God for good people who have influenced me along the way. Pastors, teachers, friends. I would not be here speaking tonight without the influence of many people. Too numerous, I think, probably to name. Some more maybe outstanding in my mind than others, but many. Without a devoted wife and helpmeet, I could not have given myself to the ministry as I have desired and done these past years. Without children who have honored me through their obedience to Christ and their respect and have believed in my Savior and God, have lived in their lives that a way that has not brought reproach to our Lord, I could not have had a ministry and could not have a ministry this evening. Without faithful deacons who've supported me through bad times and good times, through thick and thin, I would not have a ministry at Thompson Road Baptist Church. Without a faithful, Bible-believing flock, such as you folks, who have loved and obeyed the gospel and the whole counsel of God and have followed the leadership of their God-appointed under-shepherd, I would not be a pastor. I would be a pastor at least without a congregation, without a church. And so you've been a blessing in words that are just unspeakable. So I come to this passage tonight with great gratitude as I pause and think about what God has blessed me with, the people in my life, close to me and not so close. I can single out many of you by name. Some of you have been here since before I came as pastor, some, and some came about the time I came, and some have come since. And without every one of you who have labored and loved the Lord and labored for Him and in this ministry, I just wouldn't be here tonight. And that every pastor would say the same. So I come to this passage with a great deal of humility, a great deal of respect, not just for the Apostle Paul, but for those people that he just mentioned. A long list. In fact, I want to just divide these verses up that we've read tonight in about three or four categories. Number one, we've read many names and their number. First of all, there were about, I think, 30. They were both men and women, as you have heard, as I have read. They were unsung heroes, most of them. Most of them, their names are not written in marquees. They're not well known. They're not household names. Maybe a few would be, but most of them are not. Aquila and Priscilla, most of us have heard those names often, but Rufus, Tryphena, Tryphosa, and Hermes and Hermasa, those names are not so common. But connected with any ministry, and this church included, there are men and women, never a majority of the people, who are really doing the work. Now, probably most every Sunday night crowd would be included. You're a worker. You're involved in the ministry of this church. So I've heard a statement that I've repeated, but maybe it's not true at Thompson Road. Usually 90% of the people are quite willing to let 10% of the people do 100% of the work of a ministry. We certainly have more than 90% here this evening, I think. But to get the job done for Christ, and Paul is saying this here tonight, but to get the job done for the Lord Jesus, it takes every one of us, everyone doing what he or she can do, men and women, young and old, those who have extraordinary talents and those who have just ordinary skills, those who can work with their hands and those who can work best with their tongues, those who are outgoing, those who are shy, those who have money and those who have no money, those who are employed, those who are not employed, those who have been to Bible college, those who have never had a day of formal training in their lives, those who have been saved many years and those who have been saved just a short while. It takes every one of us to get the job done for the Lord Jesus Christ. So number one, their number, they're many. Paul does not give an exhaustive list here because you compare this epistle with others and there are other people mentioned in other epistles. So these are some. These were concentrated maybe in the church at Rome. And so he mentions mostly those people there. So number one, their number. And I thank God for the number of people. I thank God for every one of you and others who are not here tonight, could not be here, cannot be here for the work you do. Number one, their number. Secondly, notice their names. This is interesting, their names. As again, I said, some are well known. Notice verse 7. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. So these people were more well known during the time that Paul wrote these words. They were well known. They were of note amongst the apostles. Not so much to us tonight, but they were known amongst the apostles. Most of them, however, were not well known. And so the work of the Lord Jesus Christ is done by a host of people whose names are primarily unknown. And if I should, Paul, I think Paul was pretty brave to start writing a list here of people and naming them, because I wonder if he of course, the Holy Spirit was directing us. But in my thinking, I wondered if he would have thought, I'm sure I forgot somebody. I would leave out somebody. And I couldn't begin to mention names here because I would leave out someone. And it's just an amazing thing when you start to think about it. We had a year or two ago a workers' appreciation banquet. I don't know how many we had, maybe 80 or 100 people who were involved in this ministry. And we're not a huge ministry, but we have a dedicated core of committed Christian people who have rolled up their sleeves and who are doing what the Lord allows you to do. And what I'm doing, most of you aren't doing or can't. And what you're doing, I can't do. And so we did. It takes a team. I'm going to give you some quotes that I've jotted down. I don't know the author of some of these, but I've culled these through my ministry. He will never amount to anything for Christ who wants to make a name for himself. He will never amount to anything for Christ who wants to make a name for himself. That's not what it's about, ministry. It's about making his name shine, exalting Christ, glorifying the Lord Jesus, our Savior. Love that first song, our Savior and friend. Our Savior and friend. Isn't that amazing to put those two words in the same breath? Our Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and also a friend of sinners. That's us. Secondly, there are no big shots in the Lord's army. We're all just volunteers. We've been enlisted in the service of the King. We've signed on. We're volunteers, but no big shots. He's the captain of our salvation. He's the preeminent one in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone deserves the glory. So no big shots. Nobody's trying to make a name. Nobody wants to make this a ministry where there's a big name. He's the big person. He's the big show. Thirdly, God has his own list of who's who. Now, this is a list here that Paul assembled, and it was God's list of people in Rome. He says, greet these people. Greet the church that is in their house. Greet so-and-so. In fact, some of the names are mentioned. Notice verses 1 to Phoebe, whom Paul identified as our sister and servant of the church. She was a widow. She was serving because she was singled out by name as either a widow or a single woman. But I assume a widow because she would not have been singled out had she been married to a man at the time. But he says, notice what he says about her. Receive her in the Lord has become a saint, that ye assist her in whatever business she hath need of, for she hath been a succorer of many and also of myself. A helper. She would be received in the Lord. Anyone can be a helper. You don't have to have high level of skill or intelligence or wherewithal. Just a willing heart. Just ready hands to be in some way a helper. A helper to the Lord's work. I'm only one, but I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. And what I can do, I should do. And by the grace of God, I will do. Paul said, I am only one. Amen. You're only one. What can you do? I don't know. But God will show you what you can do if you ask him. Phoebe, number two. Notice verses 3 and 4. Priscilla. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. My helpers in Christ. I would love, in my own flesh, I guess, but can you imagine having your name in the eternal Word of God as a helper in Christ? Well, the Bible's complete; the canon's closed, so there's none of us are going to have our names added. But you can still be a helper in Christ. You can help move His kingdom along. You can help build His church. Priscilla and Aquila did that. They were a man-wife team in the gospel. Driven from Rome because of persecution and then coming back to Rome in God's providences. They traveled some with Paul, according to Acts chapter 18, verse 18, to Ephesus. They taught the Word of God. They were skilled teachers, chapter 18, verse 26, Acts, the book of Acts. They taught Apollos, grounded him in the Word of God and the faith. They opened their home to the local church, according to 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 19. So what a tremendous designation. A couple, a man-wife team, kind of like Scott and Lorraine Saxton. I'm sorry to single them out, but they're not members here, so overlook you. This is somebody visiting. A man and wife came to give himself over to serving churches. Do you read their emails? They spent weeks over in Terre Haute serving a church there, Grace Baptist Church, pastored by a dear friend of mine, Jim Haddix, who's been there longer than I've been here, if you can imagine that. Started a church, mothered by Grace Baptist Church in Muncie, pastored by Collins and Glenn, another friend of mine. And Jim was the first pastor and the only pastor at Grace Baptist in Terre Haute. And in the course of time, his wife got cancer and died, and Jim just kept plugging along. And lo and behold, the Lord brought a beautiful single gal from Pennsylvania that had never been, and somebody introduced the two, and Laura, and they're married, and they're plugging along. They've had some severe tests, and they're working like many cities in the U.S. of A., including this one, in a tough place. Maybe tougher than some. Maybe Lorraine could tell us. They've worked there. They've gone door to door. They've done soul winning. They had tent meetings and Bible schools and one-on-one evangelism. They could testify of the difficulty, but they have been helpers together. A man and wife team in the gospel ministry. Now let's go on. Notice verse 5. There's another one mentioned by name. Likewise greet the church and salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Well-beloved and first fruits, holy, consecrated to God. That's what it means there. And then Andronicus and Junia, verse 7. Fellow prisoners, fellow captives, literally, in the war. And Paul, in many places, including 2 Corinthians 11, 23, 2 Corinthians 6, 5, talks about being in prison and with fellow prisoners. And these were a couple of them that he'd met in prison. While he was in prison with the fellow prisoners, they no doubt encouraged him. They prayed for him. They ministered to him in some way. And they were fellow prisoners who were of note also among the apostles. There was Apelles who was tested and tried. And others that are mentioned by name. But God keeps his own who's who, his own record of names of those who are faithful. So number one, the nature of these. Number one, the number. Number two, the names. God's got a record book. Number three, notice the necessity. The necessity. What Paul could not have accomplished what he did. And he did. He's considered the greatest missionary. Church planting missionary ever. He was a lion for God. It's amazing to read what what he did with what he had to work with and the method of travel and the time he spent in prison and the beatings and all the suffering and then to just evaluate his work. It's phenomenal. It's never been equaled, I don't suppose, in the history of the church. Not that anyone was trying to compare, but it's just a fact. But what he did so because there was a person, there were persons like these mentioned here, Aquila and Priscilla. Notice verse 6, greet Mary who bestowed labor on us. Greet Mary. Which one? We don't know, but God knows, and these people probably know. Who bestowed labor on us. Greet her. I'll never forget her. Greet, notice verses 1 and 2, Phoebe. We've already mentioned her. What a great asset. Notice verse 9. We've already read, but look again. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ. Our helper in Christ. Paul doesn't specify what these people did, but they did the work of the ministry. They assisted him. They bestowed labor upon him. They helped him. A preacher cannot, with money, even if he had it, most don't, a preacher cannot with money buy love, loyalty, and dedication. It comes from God. It comes from the Holy Spirit of God. It comes from people in love with Christ. It comes from people who want to move His kingdom forward. A preacher can't do that. I suppose some person, we've all heard of TV personalities, they have mega ministries and they have fortunes and they live in mansions, but I'm talking about a God-called preacher. There's no way you can buy what Paul was talking about here, even if you had the money. With money alone, with dollars alone, you can build buildings, all kinds of them, but you cannot build a ministry with dollars alone. It takes people whose minds are set to work for the Lord Jesus Christ, have a mind to work for Him like these people had. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 5 says, "And this they did," talking about the church, the churches of Macedonia, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. "This they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord." Paul is writing to the churches of Achaia, and he's of Asia. He says, "Folks, I want to tell you about some churches in Macedonia, in Europe. They have given out of their poverty. They do not have the wherewithal like you people, but they have given. But first of all, they gave themselves, and they've been addicted to the ministry." So let's go back to the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 17. Just an Old Testament reminder of the importance of teamwork. It's a story that you remember. Just fresh out of Egypt. Trekking through the wilderness, God's people had not gone far. They ran into some real challenges. And one of the challenges was some opposition from some of the local inhabitants of the land. Then came Amalek, verse 8 of Exodus 17. "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill and with the rod of God in my hand.' So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So Joshua, the captain of the Lord's host, is down below, and Moses, the leader, and his brother Aaron, another, the co-leader, and Hur, the brother, and they went up to the top of the mountain. Came to pass in verse 11, when Moses held up his hands before God in prayer, that Israel prevailed. And when he got tired and his hands got heavy and let his hands down, Amalek prevailed." Shows the importance of intercessory prayer, praying. He had probably the best captain you could imagine. And Joshua had a great force, great army, but they were no match when prayer was weak or when prayer was... But Moses' hands were heavy, verse 12. "They took a stone and put under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur stayed his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. The Lord said to Moses, 'Write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heaven.' Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi." God delivers. The victory came because there was a man on either side of Moses holding up his hands. And if they had failed, the army would have failed below. There's no way to put a premium on people like you holding up the hands of Pastor Joel and Sarah in their work for, and thank God for some of you. I got a great report on the youth ministry, the retreat this weekend. 18 kids went, several adult workers. From what I've heard, it was a great time, not only weather-wise, but spiritually too. And it was because some people were holding up hands. You were in prayer back here. If you had failed in prayer, the results wouldn't have been as good. And if those adult workers had not gone with Pastor Joel to hold it would have happened like it did. This is applicable. It was an Old Testament. These are written for our admonition, our learning and admonition. Amen. These Old Testament examples that God just chose. By the way, in the next chapter, Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, comes to visit, and he observes the work, and he notices that Moses is sitting to judge the people, and Moses, from morning to evening, was hearing cases brought before him and to him. And Jethro, not a brain surgeon, but said, listen, Moses, you can't do this. You're going to burn out. You're going to wear yourself out. You need some help. What is this thing? Chapter 18 of Exodus, verse 14. What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone? All the people stand by thee from morning to even. Come on. Moses said to his father-in-law, verse 15, because the people come to me to inquire of God, and I'm the only one that can do the job. When they have a matter, they come to me, and I judge between one another, and I do make them to know the statutes of God and His laws. And Moses' father-in-law said to him, the thing that thou doest is not good. Moses, there are people that are willing to help you. There are people that are capable of helping you. Here's what my counsel is. You will surely wear away both you and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now to my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with you. Be thou for the people of God word, and thou that thou must bring the causes to God, and so forth. So he gave good counsel. Divide the work up. Delegate it out. Spread out your responsibility. You'll be ultimately responsible, but you got people that will hold your hands up in the ministry. And that's where all of us come in. In the Philippines, there was a memorial made to people that had given their lives, U.S. military people, who had given their lives in service of our country here, but fought in the Philippines, World War II, to bring victory to those people. And they had a memorial with the names of all men who had sacrificed with their lives in service. They were recipients of the Medal of Honor, the most prestigious award you can receive as a military person. And their names were engraved in the memorial. One of those names was Walter Peterson, Chief Water Bearer. Yeah. Chief Water Bearer. Not what we consider the most glamorous job. What are you? A water boy. By the way, that's all we are for Jesus, just water boys. Pot bearers, I said a couple weeks ago, just bearing pots. Just servants. No big shots. Nobody important. He's important. We're just water. We just carry water. We just roll up our sleeves and do whatever needs to be done. We want to be like the church in Macedonia. We want to give ourselves, first of all, we'd like to be like those people that says they were addicted to the ministry. Wouldn't that be something? To have a church full of people addicted, hooked on it. I can't help myself. I got to go to church Sunday. I just need to go. I want to go. I got to serve. I got to witness this week. I want to. It's something I have to do. Boy. May their tribe increase. May you join them if you haven't already joined them. There's something for each of us to do. We can do something. So the necessity, we can't survive without people that roll up their sleeves and go to work. And just be water bearers. Just carry water for the Lord Jesus. You don't have to have your name in lights. You don't have to receive accolades. You don't have to hear somebody say, hey, good job, buddy. That's great. Keep it up. It's nice when people do that. And I am amazed at what people do. But most of you don't even know about it. I see them. I see them pulling weeds. I see them doing things. I can't even mention because I don't want to name names, but I could mention some things right now that are on my mind that most of you don't even know about, but people do them unseen, unsung, but they do it for the Lord Jesus. He gives the reward. He gives the accolades. Number four, their nature, their number, their names, their necessity. Paul talks about we can't do without them in the body of Christ, in the work of the ministry. And then finally, their nature. They all had one thing in common. Did you notice verse 2? Let's go back to verse 2 of Romans chapter 16. They were succorers. Succorers, that means they undergirded, they strengthened, they gave life, they sustained, they ministered to necessities. of people in the ministry, Paul specifically here. They were, notice verse 3, notice succors and helpers. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. If you would sign up for a job, what would you like to do? I'd like to be a helper. You want to be a captain? You don't want to be a lead man? No, I just want to be a helper. Just a helper. You want a title? Your title's a helper? Yeah, that's all I want. I just want to be a helper for Jesus. There's nothing more important. I would be glad to be a helper. I am a helper, I hope. That's all I want to be. A helper for Jesus. In the ministry of building a church. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 12. Verse 12. Labors. Who labor in the Lord. Labor. That's not a four-letter word, but it means the same thing as work. They work. They sweat. They toil. They spend energy. They expend themselves. They invest finances, if need be, resources. They do what is necessary because they labor much in the Lord. In the Lord. It's not to build an empire for an organization. It's in the Lord. Verse 7, we've already seen their fellow prisoners. If needs be, they go to prison. By the way, there's nothing more that Paul would like to be known other than a servant. Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. James, same thing. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, same thing. 1 Peter 1:1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Jude 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. No, these men and others that we could have cited, it might have taken them a while, but they got the message. It finally sank in. Jesus said in Matthew 20:27, whoever will be the chief among you, let him be your servant. Whoever's going to be the chief, let him be the servant. Do you delight in being called a servant? Servant has no agenda of his own. He's got the master's will to do. Well, that's what the Lord is looking for today. Servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Servants. Servants like 2 Samuel chapter 23. You don't have to go back there, but remember the story about David who was holed up and there were some Philistines in his hometown, Bethlehem. And they said, oh man, if I could have a drink of water from that well in Bethlehem. And three of his brave men hurt over him, said, and they broke through the lines of the Philistines at their own life expense and got the water and brought it back to David so he could drink it. And David said, this is holy water. I can't drink this. They gave their blood for this. This is blood water. He poured it out. But to think he had three men whose hearts were so dedicated to God and to God's servant, his leader, that they were willing to give their lives for that. What a testimony. The Bible says in Hebrews 6:10, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you've showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. You have ministered to the saints and do minister. By the way, you say, man, I started out and I messed up. And I'm not qualified. I tried once. I taught a class and I fumbled and stumbled and failed and flailed. And just bypass me. If you need workers, I tried. I give it my shot. You know when.